I respect wood.
I do too.
There we go.
Do you respect wood?
Yeah, I do respect wood. As I get older, I respect it's harder to come.
Depends. I mean, I find myself just not even thinking about coasters often. Like, we always, I was such a destructive force as a child. My parents are like, we're just going to put garbage. And like, the actual coffee table we had for most of my childhood was something that they called the invasion table. The invasion were like some travel softball team my sister played for, and they had like a flea market yard sale thing.
Okay.
And they bought this like garbage chest pretty much, and they're like, this is the coffee table. Because you animals can't have anything better.
I was talking about hard-ons. It gets harder to get them as you get older. But no, we are...
The more you struggle to get wood, the more you respect others that can.
Yeah. I haven't had that issue yet, thank God. But, you know, I know
better
some...
Better knock on wood.
Yeah, seriously. I know some... Oh, there we go. He was... So when he said... We're live at the West Bank Golf Club.
I definitely expected it to just be like a quick, like... Choom.
Poundtown Podcast, Will Birch, Brad Kenny. I this is all on me because I told him, like, oh, you're fine.
Yeah, he offered to not do this. And Will was like, no, go ahead. Who cares?
Well, yeah, a nail gun usually is just...
That's not a nail gun.
Well, he's running the compressor for the nail gun. Is
Oh, there it is. That's what it is.
He's got to get the compressor fired up.
Okay.
We are at the West Bank Golf Club. We're not presented by anybody still. But we're here.
Powered by people, though.
We're powered by live mixtapes. West Bank Golf Club, sure. Powered by them as well.
And Movo Photo deserves a shout out as well, even though we're not technically using their things.
I don't even know if they're in business anymore, but... Yeah. Well, these are Movo. These are the mics.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
They give us a lot of shit, huh?
So much shit. Yeah, way too much. By the way, this room's really coming along. I'm excited to see how it turns out. We were in here before and there was like nothing. It was like going into a... I think Pants said it best. It was like going into a brand new Hudson basement and a Hudson home. Now it's starting to look a little man cavey in here.
Got green on the walls.
Yeah, I do love above the dartboards the ripping darts. Like I'm a big fan of that. That's cool. Nice. That's good stuff. We got a lot to talk about. We got some Brown stuff to talk about, of course. Huge win, Jesus Christ. Crazy, one of the crazier games I've ever seen. The Cavs start, as people are listening to this tonight, they're tipping off. And then I got a couple other odds and ends, some different things I want to throw in there. If we can get to the Michigan scandal stuff, if not, I think we could push it off because I don't think there's going to be any resolution between now and Thursday anyway. It is hilarious to see all the Michigan people. Like, he's not even part of the staff. And then there's just video after video of him talking to the defensive coordinator. So that's hilarious to me. Although I don't really give that much of a shit about the entire thing. It is funny to watch Michigan fans squirm.
They do a lot of cheating. They're like he's like every aspect of his... His coaching hood is like under question and under investigation.
Oh, yeah. You know what, though? He's going to go straight to the NFL and he's going to probably coach the Bears and someone else is going to have to deal with this bullshit. And that's just the way
nobody's
it goes.
Nobody's going to play for him. None of his players wanted to play for him. They were talking about trading him as a coach.
Yeah. I think he's a terrible NFL coach because I think he's just such an arrogant prick that doesn't fly in the NFL.
I think he's such a control freak that he tries to treat them like kids and that's what they don't like about it.
Well, that was the Urban Meyer effect, right? Urban Meyer went down.
Urban Meyer treated everybody like they were fucking dogs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like they were dogs and he hated dogs.
The only people who didn't, well, actually, he did kind of treat women like dogs too.
Yeah.
Like a bitch.
Like a constipated dog whose asshole needed stimulation.
That's like when if they have to pop the glands in their ass. That's basically what he was trying to do that girl at the bar.
Thumb and butts.
But you had a big accomplishment today, right?
I did. Speaking of Urban Meyer teams. I finished my snowblower.
What does that have to do with Urban Meyer?
What it has to do with Urban Meyer is his Jacksonville Jaguars were playing in the playoffs versus the Chargers when I started that project.
Jesus.
January 14th, 2023. I did a show and then I came home and I had the game plan on my phone. And I went into the garage. I'm like, you know, this shouldn't be too bad. It was worse than I thought. But also, I was closer to being done than I thought. I had my old man come over because he's built a snowblower before. And he just kind of was like, I think we just need to do this and this. And it was like a half an hour project.
What all goes into building a snowblower? I figured that would just, it'd be like buying a lawnmower. I guess I did have to put my lawnmower together.
You
too.
Sort of have to put some stuff together. Yeah. But like what definitely needed to be put together was, I mean, like the whole handle and like power area all needed to be like hooked up. And then these two cables that you need to have like hook in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And getting like the right tension, I really wasn't sure what I was doing there, but I figured that out pretty quick. The the little piece that comes up to blow the snow out.
Yep.
And then a little arm that directs it.
Yep.
You got to put that together. And then there's like skids that had to go on the bottom. And that was more or less all I had to do that night.
Have you used a snowblower before?
Yeah.
It might be in a big, thick snow, might be one of the most satisfying things in the face of the earth. It sucks that you have to go out there in the snow to do it. But once you start and it's just like perfectly square and it is so fucking satisfying for some reason.
I am just like, we didn't get any snow after I bought it last year. Yeah. I dropped a good amount of money on this fucking thing. Like right before that ice storm that came, because everybody's talking about storm of 78 and how things could get really fucking nuts with the wind. None of that actually came to fruition, thank God. But, you know, once the snow wasn't coming, I'm like, well, fuck it. This thing could just sit. And then what didn't occur to me was, okay, well, if this thing just sits and then you try and turn it on, it doesn't turn on, you're out a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
So thank God this thing ended up turning on.
Oh, that's right, because it's probably only, how long do you have to return that thing? A year, maybe?
I think probably 90 days, and then there's a warranty.
Oh, okay. Then you have to go through the factory.
Yeah.
My stepdad just went through that with John Deere. He had to pay to have his John Deere tractor taken back to a facility four different times. Money's like, go fuck yourselves. I'm not paying anymore. You're sending somebody out here.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the resolution was because they kept sending it back and just kept leaking oil. It was brand fucking new.
Goddamn.
Brand new. And I don't know how much you pay for those things, but I know they ain't cheap.
No, that's the brand name. Like, that's not, you didn't buy the off-brand fucking ride-on mower. No. You bought the Harley Davidson of riding mowers.
Well, and that's exactly what Home Depot was like. It's been past 90 days, brother. We can't help you. And he was like, this thing was way too expensive for you to just cut.
So I got to buy everything at Costco. I wish I could have bought my snowblower at Costco. They didn't have anything that was in my price range, but.
What does a snowblower run?
I mean, the one I bought, which is on the cheaper end of the, you want the two-step. The two-step, like there's a one-step that's just like, just shoots shit out and like it misses a lot of stuff and it doesn't shoot it as far. Two-step has like the churning blade thing and then like it throws it from there.
Fuck yeah.
I bought the cheapest one at $700.
Damn.
Most of them were over $1,000.
We gave that thing away as a wedding gift when we moved out of our house. I mean, I should have sold that goddamn thing.
Yeah.
And it was a super nice one.
Then, you probably could have gotten $800 for it.
Well, that pisses me off. All right. Let's start with something that doesn't piss me off. Oh, actually, you know what?
I wouldn't give my most loved of loved ones an $800 wedding present.
It was one of Jenna's friends. She brought up the idea. I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. We're moving out. We don't need that thing anymore. And then I ended up needing it anyway, and I don't have one now because I have a fucking driveway that I have to plow.
I mean, you have to plow that thing? Isn't it like a shared driveway?
Yeah, but no one shovels it. Like, I just shovel my part.
I had considered in your driveway, I'm like, oh, I just park right kind of in the middle. But no, you can't because people are going up your driveway to get to another parking area. You go to those people and be like, no, you fucking do it.
Well, supposedly Ray is supposed to do it, but I think I've told you about Ray. He's like the neighborhood drunk.
Yeah.
Ray's not the most... You can't really count on Ray for a lot. Ray, you can count on Ray to drink some beer. That's for sure.
That's nice. That's good to have and to be in your back pocket.
And at like 7 p.m. to be angry on the bench down the street. Those are like the two things you count on Ray for. Other than that. Shout out to, I'm assuming the city of Cleveland. You know that swing bridge is fucking out already? It was up for like 3 days.
Which bridge?
The Center Street Bridge right here.
That red one?
Yeah.
I just drove over it.
Is it back working again?
I just drove over it.
Earlier today, I saw it was out on someone's story. It had been out all weekend. Yes. It had been out all weekend over there, so I didn't take this route because I didn't want to accidentally get over there and it didn't work, so that makes me a little bit more happy. But then I had to go down West 25th, which is a pain in the ass drive down this time of day. But the upside of that is you get to play a game that I love, and that's Homeless or Fashionable.
Okay.
You know, and this doesn't really apply to women, because women, you can always kind of tell if a woman's got some money.
I don't know. Sometimes.
Sometimes, true. But over on West 25th, usually they're done up all nice, and they might dress like they're homeless, but they obviously have some money. The hair is ugly, makeup, all that shit. Men, though, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter. In this day and age, it is so hard to tell if someone's homeless or they are just really up on the fashion shit.
Yeah. Fashion now like has like pre-stained things. Not now. That's always been there.
Yeah.
With holes and shit like that. Like you see Kanye West, he's got at least had $1 billion and now Lord knows what he's worth. But his shit had holes.
Yeah.
And like I think Yeezys are ugly as shit.
They are. They're very comfortable though. Very comfortable shoes.
I just like New Balance is the same way, but people aren't buying New Balance the way they're buying Yeezys.
New Balance is pretty popular now, actually, but not the way they were buying Yeezys before. That's for sure. But I think it was Pants who tweeted the one day. He's like, "What are all these people doing dressing like an unemployed electrician from 1993?" Which I love. Give me a big flannel and like baggier pants are back in. I'm fucking all about that. It's awesome. I'm all about it. But some people take it to such extremes, especially when you have like the guys who have like the man buns and the big beards. Dude, you can't tell if these guys you can't tell if they live in a next to Great Lakes Brewing Company in a sleeping bag or if they live in the giant penthouse right next to that.
I saw this kid at the liquor store on Sunday, and I went to high school with him, and I immediately recognized his face, but I couldn't really remember who he was. He had the man bun. He had the very bushy beard. And then it hits me as we're about to check out that we used to call him Taint Face.
Taint Face?
Taint Face.
Okay.
My buddy Grant came up with the nickname. Everybody ran with it.
Did somebody overshoot a teabag, and how did he become Taint Face?
I think it was just kind of like a silly nonsense of your face looks like a taint, and we're going to call you Taint Face.
And it probably pissed him off, so that stuck.
He accepted it. Now, Sarah was like, "You bullied that kid." And yeah, I'm like, "No, sure. He was fine."
No, that you bullied him, yes.
Apparently, we bullied that kid. But like, hey, he's 30 years old now. I can't just go off Taint Face.
Sure you can.
So I was racking my brain, like, what the fuck is this kid's name?
What is his real name?
I had to ask him, and I was wrong. His real name is Carver.
That's a stupid fucking name. Taint Face,
Taint Face
is better.
It's way better. We improved it.
Actually, by all odds, I think I improved it. Yeah, so that was my trip over here. But there was a couple good ones, especially with it was a little nicer outside. Guys are sweaty. Sweat. Doesn't discriminate. You could be rich or you could be homeless. Yeah. Everyone's sweaty. It's a nice little game of homeless or fashionable. Sunday, Browns win a game. I want to approach this two ways. First, I want to talk about if I'd have told you before that game that Watson was going to play less than two series.
I'd have laughed.
Throw five passes, seem to be still injured. I don't know if you agree with this take, but I would have said, okay, and they have four turnovers. I'd have been like, we probably still won that game. I didn't think it was going to be the adventure it would be, where they had to really rally and have some calls go their way at the end and shit.
Those calls really went their way, like particularly that fucking uncatchable pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Oh my God, that was terrible.
So it's not Victor Wembanyama trying to catch a pass back there. No one's catching that pass. No. But just your thoughts, I guess your thoughts overall. We'll get into all the Deshaun stuff, but I just think the game overall, a victory like that, they are 4-2. They're 4-2.
They are 4-2. That's huge. I feel so conflicted on how to feel about the defense. Like, yeah, Myles Garrett had a great game.
Legendary game. That's the type of game people are going to talk about for decades.
That's a really big game. Although I will say, Jesus Christ, on that one strip sack for the touchdown, how did two people do that bad at blocking anybody?
I don't know. Neither of them
put a good move on him. No. It's not like he did anything crazy. He just like kind of scooted them aside as they horribly tried to block him. Yeah. That was embarrassing. But like the block field goal, holy shit. The other strip sack, holy shit. It was very, very good. So technically the defense kind of won you that game. But also the defense gave up 38 points to Gardner Minshew. And most of that, you know, they passed the eye test of like, this defense looks good, but also they failed the eye test because you see 38 in the scoreboard and the yards after catch were just ridiculous.
Yeah. And now you have to start asking yourself, are mobile quarterbacks who where the defensive line can't get home so easily, are they going to be the Achilles heel? Which they're pretty much everybody's Achilles heel, right? But man, you're right. If you give them time and able to hit anybody just in a soft spot of the zone, they were running for days afterwards.
Yeah, our secondary is really good at coverage. But if somebody does find a hole, if somebody does make a catch and then a defender falls down or anything like that, our secondary doesn't tackle all that well.
No, I think going into that game, I'm pretty sure they're one of the worst tackling defenses in the NFL. It just didn't matter because they were shutting everybody down.
Yeah.
I do want to give a couple kudos here. One, Jerome Ford, it sucks he's injured.
Yeah.
Huge break in that run. But even outside of that, was able to establish, him and Kareem Hunt were able to establish a run game throughout that entire contest that really kept him in it. It was able to help him sustain drives. They picked up big chunks of yardage when they needed them. We can quibble over Kevin Stefanski, and there's plenty to quibble about.
There's one particular area.
Yeah, but for years and years and years, we've talked about coaches that people liked and then have the players. And so, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. You had losses, right? Or like, actually, I'll write down a couple examples here. They're going to be terrible examples, but, like all the going for it on fourth downs, right? Uh-huh. People could tell me, well, that's the correct thing to do, but they weren't winning games. So I wasn't ever going to give them credit for that shit, even though probably it is the right thing to do to give yourself a long-term advantage. But I'm not going to give them credit if you're not winning the games. If I'm going to hold, that's the standard I'm holding things to, I have to give him credit here for the team being 4-2, especially with Nick Chubb going down and whatever the fuck is going on with Deshaun Watson.
So it's really difficult to kind of gauge where to feel about Kevin Stefanski, because over the years, like, he has been winning games, maybe not to the level that we think they should be. I think a lot of that has to do with us overvaluing the talent that we do have on the roster.
Some years, for
as,
sure.
As
yes.
a fan base, I think we've taken a look at things on paper and been like, this should be fucking unreal.
Yeah.
Like the Odell Jarvis Landry years. And we thought that that was the most unstoppable tandem of wide receivers imaginable. And it was just unacceptable to not win a Super Bowl with that. This year, you lose Chubb. Your offensive line is shakier than it has been in past years. Yep. Your quarterback is hurt.
Which, by the way, most teams would kill for the shaky offensive line.
Yes.
It's insane that this is a shaky offensive line. But anyway.
It definitely is compared to the last few years.
For sure.
But being able to plug and play Dwan Jones is ridiculous. Bill Callahan is phenomenal.
He's just like dancing out there and shit. Like he's got confidence now.
He's fucking good, man. Yeah, he's really good. He is a good piece. But like on the goal line, to after the game say, I knew we could have just scored it whenever we wanted, so we passed a couple times. What the fuck does that mean?
I think I get what he's saying. I don't think he communicated it well. I think he's saying is, if we got to fourth down and it was man up 1v1, we could push our way in. So we didn't want to have to go against that type of pressure and then have to run up and down it. Now I've wasted two downs on a run play. But that's flawed thinking, because if you know you can just go one-on-one, no fucking receivers in the game, and push them into the end zone, you should just do it on first
just
down.
Do it.
Yeah.
Ask Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Get the fucking points. On the goal line, get the fucking points.
I think that maybe, though, too, because he did say he was trying to run some clock off there, or didn't want to have to go up and spike the ball. I think there might have been a little bit of hesitancy to score immediately, because they have just been burned right at the end of games before. But that's... You can't coach that way.
You cannot
assume that your defense is going to get burned 80 yards in fucking 30 seconds.
If your mindset is, we're the Browns and bad things happen to the Browns, you need to get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. It's not Bill and Willowick coaching this team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no. Dude. It's not any of us at home going, we've been here before, this is terrible. You're supposed to be the head coach of the team. You can't have that mindset. And especially like to throw on first down the way that they did, they brought in that big formation. They brought in Nick Harris and James Hudson, as well as Harrison Bryant. So,
by the way, perfect pass. Got to catch up on Njoku. Just have to.
Yeah.
Now, how often are you going to expect PJ Walker to make a perfect pass like that, though? That's the other side of that question.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're really playing with fire as you're like, we're going to throw a couple times in the goal line with PJ Walker.
Yeah. Especially when just last week you gave him a play that was supposed to be a rollout and there's nothing there. You just throw it away or run it. And that motherfucker just tried to throw an interception. Like,
really did.
Terrible pass.
Yes.
But I think overall, I think we're a lot of things we used to bitch about with him, some of the timeout stuff, some of the clock management stuff, the game planning that didn't seem to extend past the first 15 scripted plays. A lot of that has felt alleviated this year. We haven't talked about it. Now we're still, there's still these things that drive you insane, like that set of downs at the very end of the game. But it does feel like he has grown somewhat as a head coach. So I am going to give him some credit for 4-2 here. I'm with you, though. I'm a little bit conflicted. I gave myself, I'm like 24 to 40 hours, I'm just going to enjoy this win. I didn't even go on Twitter and tweet about it. I was talking a lot of shit on Sunday just because I like riling people up. But I'm now, it's Wednesday, or it's Tuesday. It's, you know, about 48 hours removed. I am now ready to start looking at big picture here. And big picture, there is a ton of question marks. And
there's one huge one.
Yeah, the biggest one is the guy, one that cost you $230 million. And I actually don't think running him out there was the worst thing in the world. I think, you know, in the week leading up to Baltimore, he said he could play. He thought he was going to be able to play all week. Right before the game, he tells Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski on the field with the trainers, I don't think I could push it downfield. Okay, fuck it. All right, I guess we got to go with DTR. Then this week, they gave PJ Walker all the reps. probably still talking the same way when he starts coming into practice late in the week. Okay, all right, you're going to play. I like that Kevin Stefanski was like, no, yeah, you're our guy this week. And in the background going, I'll pull his ass if I have to. Like, yeah. Dude, because he did not fucking hesitate. The second he went down, he came back out of the tent with his helmet, and he was just like, yeah, you're
going. Well, he also almost threw his second pick. I honestly was shocked that they turned that over.
Yeah, me too.
Because the ball is allowed to touch the ground. Yeah. It just can't. You're like, your possession and control of the ball.
It just looked like it was moving as it hit the ground, too. Like, you know what I mean? That could have went either way. It was surprising they turned it over. They switched it because they usually won't switch that. It was too close. It does seem to me he's still hurt, obviously, especially on that second pass.
That's what he's been doing his whole career, though, man. Like, Deshaun Watson coming out into the draft.
But, dude, that second one was like, there's just nothing on that ball. Like,
but that's kind of been, like, he had one of the lowest QB velocities of all time. Like, he was tied for lowest in his year in the combine in QB velocities. He's 10 full miles per hour lower than Patrick Mahomes. And he's also rolling out to the left. So he's got to kind of flip his hips and do that, like, and then jump leg kick thing to get the ball out.
Even if he's just a little bit sore, it's going to take even more off of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, he needs to get his fucking gathering. Like, he needs to understand what his limitations are. He needs to understand where he's at with his arm strength and not try and pull that hero shit.
Yeah, because that was hero shit.
Yes, it was.
100%. Moving forward, I mean, we're going to find out more tomorrow. I think Savanti said yesterday they gave him an MRI. They're waiting on the results. I think if it's even close to questionable, you got to sit him for 4 weeks because all it's going to do, first of all, this isn't the toughest 4 weeks on the schedule. It's probably the easiest 4 weeks.
Uh-huh.
All it's going to do is create more bullshit around a team that's going really well right now. At least put him on the 4 week IR and bring somebody else in if you need to. I don't know if you're going to make a trade or you want to go and grab Nick Foles or one of those type of guys, or just keep rolling PJ Walker, whatever it is. But I think this team needs to have that distraction off of its plate.
They create their own bullshit. They create their own distractions.
I agree.
Motherfuckers, have a quick powwow before you face the press after a game. Just a quick get-together. This is get on the same page. This is the storyline we're going with. But instead, you have Stefanski going out there going, it was my decision. I benched him. He's definitely the starter next week. Deshaun gets up there and goes, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
The fuck is this?
I think what you have is you have a quarterback, and this is terrible to say because the tide is starting to turn with me on Deshaun. You know how I've been here. I'm like, look, I saw a glimpse of it in Tennessee. The guy has been good in the past. Uh-huh. I see someone who is hurt way more mentally right now than he is physically. That's how it's coming across me, which is not what you want to see in a guy you paid that type of money.
Not at all. I mean, I stuck up for Baker Mayfield thinking that he was mostly mental. I still think he is. You know, a lot of that was mostly mental.
Yeah.
I don't think he has nearly the talent that Deshaun has when they're both at their best. But fuck, man. Like, does this guy really like football that much?
So that, I don't know if that's such a fair criticism. Just because I would say if he didn't like football that much, I mean, I don't think he would even try to play this week. Why would he have? You know what I mean? He would very easily could have sat out this week. Nobody would have batted an eye at it. I think what Brady Quinn's pulling is absolute garbage bullshit. Brady Quinn is just trying to get into the hot take business, which is fucking whatever, dude. But to call him a trust fund baby and say, does he even love football anymore? Man, you better have something to back that up if you're going to say that shit. Now,
but like we've seen, the only thing that gives that legs in my mind is we've seen a version of Deshaun Watson that had to go on a bus to a game instead of flying because the altitude would have fucked with his broken ribs, and he still played in that game.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying.
I don't think that that's the Deshaun Watson that we're getting right now.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is I think the opposite way. I don't think it gives Brady Quinn's take legs. I think it means you have to give him somewhat of the benefit of the doubt on an injury. I do think if this thing continues to linger and there continues to be murmurings out of the organization that the medical staff kind of feels like he's kind of being a little bitch about things because that has been rumors that have been floated out there. And that's probably going to be a normal take from a medical staff who's like, oh, hey, wait a second. We just got thrown on the fucking bus. We cleared this guy. You know what I mean? You know, if that continues to linger, then maybe. I still think it's a little too early for that. My bigger concern is the fact that this guy looks like he's just not confident in what he can do out there right now. And that's probably partly injury. Probably partly the fact he thought he'd be playing better by now. Probably partly the fact that the team's winning without him, which obviously you're going to be happy about. You're also going to be thinking like, fuck, dude, I'm supposed to be the guy leading this team to wins. You know what I mean? Those are all very human emotions, I think.
I don't know, man. Like he doesn't look the same, that's for sure. But he can throw a football 15, 20 yards. So the idea of shutting him down as opposed to like, this is something where it's like pain tolerance and it is affecting his play a little bit, but he can play. He has been medically cleared. Yeah. They said it's not going to get worse. out of your $230 million, tough as nails, supposedly quarterback, you want somebody that's going to go out there, adjust their game, and just find ways to fucking win.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is the difference between this Deshaun and the Deshaun that took a fucking bus as opposed to a plane because of a broken rib. That is tough as nails shit.
You know what's more the most frustrating thing about all this?
What?
Is that last year in those final six games, the bad Deshaun we got there was one that was late to the decisions. And so the ball was getting there, but it was getting there in a bad time. It was getting picked off or knocked down, right? It is completely flipped this year. And this, what we just saw on Sunday was Deshaun, who those were two, the read to the right side of the field that was a corner route was perfectly, that motherfucker just floated. There was nothing on that throw. I mean, that was, I think Jordan Zerm pointed out, and he's dead right. The safety was on the other hash and had his body half turned, like he was playing basically like inside leverage on somebody on the other side of the field. And when that ball went up, he was able to turn and get all the way the fuck over there. That's wild. That is just a floater. That's a duck.
Him and he's never had the great velocity, but I'm sure it is his shoulder. Yeah. I'm absolutely sure that there's something wrong with his shoulder and that it is affecting his play. But him and Stefanski do need to get together in game plan and figure out, okay, short crossing routes, what can we do within 10 yards to actually do damage and gash this team?
Let's just say they say, all right, we got to sit you down for 4 weeks. Because I do think that's very much on the table. They just did an MRI, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say they sit him down for 4 weeks. Do you go out and make a trade for... I keep hearing Jeff fucking Phelps talking about Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. I think at that point, you just keep PJ Walker in. I don't think you're getting a huge upgrade there. Plus, the offense would have to be changed so much to bring in Nick Foles. He can't fucking move. You know what I mean?
No, Nick Foles hasn't been good in a while.
Yeah,
he had that one period of time where he was Superman. That was awesome.
Basically, Carson Wentz too, right?
Good for
it's
him.
Almost the same thing.
Carson Wentz had like a full season of doing very, very well.
Yeah. And then got injured and Nick Foles took over.
But also, nobody seems to like playing with Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
He is Bo Callahan.
He's
nobody
got red
wants
hair.
To go to his birthday party.
Yeah. He's got red hair.
Yeah, he's got red hair.
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Nobody seems to like him. His teammates seem to hate him.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him on the team. So, like, I don't think that you need to introduce more of that to our locker room.
I think the only move I would make if I was going to go make a quarterback, unless there is some way
there's
able
two
to.
Names.
The Kirk Cousins thing is the biggest pipe dream will never happen in a million years.
I know, but he's so perfect.
He's
if you
so
could
perfect.
Make that happen, holy shit, that would be perfect.
I think that's a Deshaun's out for the year and needs surgery.
Yeah.
You throw every fucking asset you have. You mortgage it all. This is, you just go for it here because the team is showing you signs it's ready to make that type of run.
Yeah. And this is a Kirk Cousins offense for sure.
And he said he wouldn't accept the trade. He wouldn't waive his no trade clause because he didn't want to learn a new offense.
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't have to learn a new
he
offense.
He would not have learned.
He
new
knows
offense.
All that.
Yeah.
And there would be maybe a backdoor sales pitch of, hey, this shit don't seem to be working out, brother. Like, maybe we can figure something out with you. So that's the home run. That's the pipe dream. That is the probably 0.01%.
Those are two very opposite people between Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Watson.
The exact opposite. Kirk Cousins right now, very into Creed. Very into Creed, they say.
Extreme tenors.
Yeah. And then the other one I think is Jacoby Brissett.
That's what I was. Yeah, those are the only two.
Yeah, and I don't think they probably wouldn't bend you over a barrel for Brissett. Because they're pretty much, they look like they're about to mail it in there as well. They're going to try to start acquiring assets. Nobody else is going to be trying to trade for Jacoby Brissett. You know, maybe they try to strong arm you because they know you're desperate and they tell you they want a fourth. And you just hold out another week and give them a fifth. Whatever the case may be, those are the names. The rest of the shit people are throwing around, A, isn't that much of an upgrade over PJ Walker, even though he's been terrible. And B, how long is it going to take one of these guys to come in and pick up an entire offense? And then how much is Stefanski going to have to tailor an offense to a guy who can't fucking do options and roll out to the left? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Dude, that's what we're actually just yesterday on 10 Cent Beer Life. We were talking about the same thing. Yeah, go subscribe. Talking about the same thing. And we're looking at lists of who the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL are. There's not good ones out there, man.
No.
PJ Walker's like a top 10 backup in the NFL.
And at least he can run.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it
He
enough.
Doesn't do it. He doesn't do it at all. I don't know why,
running.
But yeah, like the options supposedly there. But as far as other guys go, Jacoby Brissett was number two. He was the second best backup in the NFL. Number one is Andy Dalton. And I...
Also red hair.
He is also red hair, but also I can't see them wanting to give him up as a mentor to Bryce Young.
No, I completely agree. That situation is a completely different situation than what Jacoby Brissett said.
I think Jacoby Brissett is not as much mentoring Sam Howell. I mean, I'm sure he is some.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett is the best. He's easily the most likable quarterback we've had. I'd welcome him back with open arms.
I think the locker room would too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what you would be opening yourself up to there is Jacoby Brissett comes in, they win the next four games. And then I guarantee you there would at least be a portion of the locker room that would be somewhat dissenting and be like, hey, man.
So best case scenario is what you're telling me?
Yeah, 2 years in a row, we're going to bench the guy we're winning with to bring in Deshaun Watson. You know what I mean? Because they're all behind Deshaun right now, but that's because they're looking at P.J. Walker playing on Sundays going, this motherfucker's terrible, but at least we're winning. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised that they don't give DTR another shot. I mean, his in-game was horrible, but his preseason was that good to warrant.
Completely agree.
Like, I don't think that his one appearance versus the Ravens, who are not a terrible defense. They're pretty damn good defense.
They're looking real good right now.
Yeah, they look really good. Roquan Smith was an amazing trade for them. Yeah. And I'm just shocked that after his preseason and what he showed, that they don't give him one more shot with what we've seen out of P.J. Walker.
Was there any piece of you that had just perverted curiosity in that game of what it would be like if P.J. Walker went down? Like, when it looked like that game wasn't going to be won, not that I'm ever rooting for an injury, but I kind of wanted to see Harrison Bryant at quarterback. I want to see a big, goofy white tight end playing quarterback.
I'd love to see that. Yeah.
It'd be fucking awesome, right?
Fuck yeah. Anytime, like that wide receiver for the Broncos that had to start,
I
love it. I want to see that. They should have one game a year where you're not allowed to have a quarterback play quarterback. Every team has to pick one game.
It's just like how everybody used to play NC2A. You would just like pick the team with a super fast wide receiver and put him in a quarterback and run the option the whole time. You saw what the contingency plans were for Sunday, right? It was Harrison Bryant on running downs, and then it was Elijah Moore, who I believe the exact quote from Zach Jackson was, would be trusted to run around like a maniac and try to throw the ball.
He would lose so many yards. Just go out there and pretty much treat it like he was returning a kick every time.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And just hope somebody shakes free downfield. You could toss it to him. I don't know. So moving forward, I think there's a ton of question marks, but at least the question marks of the team that's 4-2 and a super soft schedule ahead of them. Besides the Seattle, it's a very tough game, but two of the next three games are.
Well, we thought this last one was going to be real soft.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew.
But honestly though, it still was a soft game. Gardner Minshew magic can flare up at any week. So I was not that surprised that Gardner Minshew had a good game because he has him. I mean,
I've been a Gardner Minshew fan since
I like him too. Yeah. I like him too. He doesn't get rattled. He goes out and tries to make plays, has a tendency to turn the ball over. That's the knock on Gardner Minshew, right? But, you know, if you can still manage to go 2-1 in the next three games, as long as you get through that stretch and you have a little bit of certainty at quarterback at that point, I think you're feeling really fucking good about where you're at, man. 6-3 would be an amazing spot to be sitting with everything that's happened to this team.
Gardner Minshew had over 300 yards and two rushing touchdowns.
What do they want for Gardner Minshew?
I mean, if Anthony Richardson wasn't out for the year, that would 100% be who I'd be banging the drum for.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
It'd be so much fun.
Yes. Nicer Baker.
Yeah. Did you see the Pardon My Take clip this week about Minshew and they're talking about the game? They're like, basically, Gardner Minshew instantly makes you feel alive. You feel something when Gardner Minshew plays.
Yes.
Everything. It doesn't matter. He's not going to win a lot of games.
He's like Bon Jovi on the field.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Shimmying through the end zone with his fucking mullet flying in the wind. It's awesome.
My mom texted, I hate him doing that shimmy. I'm like, I fucking love the shimmy.
Same with me. It's like, that's so fucking awesome. Even though I was like, I wish he'd quit scoring. But if he's going to score, go ahead and shimmy. It's all right. It'll be interesting to see what happens next couple weeks. Tomorrow, I wish I could have had a more, you know, a fiery take to give you right now, but I don't think I do until we know what the fuck happens with Deshaun on this MRI. At that point, I think they would go out and trade for Brissett if they had to put him on a 4-week IR. I'd almost guarantee they'd at least kick the tires on that.
I'd be shocked if they were just like, nope, P.J. Walker.
This
is good enough.
Right?
I'd be shocked.
And you know what? If Andrew Berry was saying that, I hope this is the one time when Stefanski comes in and flips his fucking desk and goes, you're going to get me a fucking quarterback, dude. I can't keep pulling magic out of my ass.
Yeah, especially if not Jerome Ford's down.
Yeah, seriously.
And you're going to be running out there. It's only supposed to be 1 to 2 weeks. That's not terrible, but he'd be really nice to have.
By the way, go fuck yourself with the Derrick Henry trade shit. Derrick Henry, A, looks washed.
God damn.
You know how much you'd have to give up? Probably what? Probably wouldn't even be that high of a pick, but you really want to give up a pick for Derrick Henry, who literally it's been a full season now, has not looked like Derrick Henry.
No. He's north of 30. He's enormous. The wheels are going to fall off at some point.
Yeah.
Everybody's just waiting. Somehow he's still doing pretty well. I like Derrick Henry.
He's fine.
But no, you don't go out and do that.
Yeah.
You run with what you got.
He's also, and if you've noticed, what's been working for the Browns, because they don't really get a lot of, vertical, but straight north and south push from the offensive line. A lot of this running they've been doing that's been working really well with Jerome Ford and Kareem has actually been off tackle.
So it's been more kind of zone blocking than it is,
which is not
blocking.
A Derrick Henry blocking. So Derrick Henry
Derrick Henry's north south track blocking.
Exactly.
Shit like that.
Hell yeah. A little offensive line talk. I love
offensive line talk. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Follow Brandon Thorne, everybody. He's the best at it.
Very good. I grew up with a guy named Brian Thorne.
Oh.
A white kid who sold crack on.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I should say that. I bet you a lot of people didn't know Brian. Yeah,
Brian Thorne has committed felonies.
Yeah. He did. He sold crack, though. Good for him. I want to save the Michigan thing.
Okay.
Wanna save that?
Yeah, okay.
I don't really have a hot take on it anyway, so except it's hilarious to watch Michigan fans squirm and just how much Jim Harbaugh just does not care about rules.
Mr. Khaki Pants is a cheater.
He does not care. Cavs tip off. You know what? Before that.
Okay.
There was a... did you see Kiss received the key to the city of Cleveland?
No.
Last weekend? Yeah, so Kiss was here. I don't know what day, Saturday, Sunday, something like that. They performed at some point in the last couple days. I don't know what it was. I don't know who's still going to Kiss concerts, but God bless you. Good for you.
People love Kiss, man. Yeah.
It was Sunday, that's right, because I think it was the Browns pregame show on 92.3. They were giving out Kiss tickets. Let's give you something to do at night. People do love Kiss. They're fine. I'm not like...
Musically, they're not the best. They got some songs
Yeah, they're fun.
I enjoy.
Yeah, they're a fun band. But Kiss got a key to the city of Cleveland. Did you see Casey Vidmar give Pants and them the key to the city of Cleveland?
Yeah, didn't he buy that on eBay?
Yeah, so I wanted, that's what I wanted to talk about. Like, you know, if you just pull up eBay and search key to the city of and just start putting in cities, they're fucking everywhere on eBay. There's so many of them.
That's amazing.
He bought his for like $180.
I know, that's so great. I remember him saying that in the group chat. I'm like, so you can fucking do that? So he goes, awesome. Yeah, absolutely you can.
And that night, when he gave it to Pants in the middle of 86, Pants was wearing it on a chain like LL Cool J. And I was like, dude, you should never take that off. That's such a good look.
Yes.
Except you know it will turn green like instantly. One shower, one sweaty day.
You don't think Cleveland's putting out for the actual gold?
No, not a chance. It's very cheap looking. It's chintzy.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was 1983 it came out.
Who was the key for? Do we know that?
I don't think we do know. All I know is he kept telling me if Pele had one, I deserve one, is what Casey kept telling me. It's just the funniest rationale for buying a key.
He should start trespassing and just holding up the key and going, it's fine.
Yeah.
I can go wherever.
Yeah. He wanted to go to the city hall and just pretend to try it on different locks because it's like comically big, obviously.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But I don't know how – you think they would kick you out? Like, no, you gave this to me in 1983.
Well, they definitely kick you out.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They do.
There are some middle-aged ladies working there just going, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. What a wild building that is, too. Have you been in there recently?
Not in a while, but yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous building. Hauntingly old and empty.
Yeah.
Very creaky walking down the hallways. It's like a fucking weird place.
Back in an old job I had, maybe around 2015, I had to go to like the zoning office. And, like, I was fucking shocked that a major city, or sort of a major city in the United States, they brought out these books for us to look through that were held together. The spines were all fucked up, so they had duct tape on them.
Hell, yeah.
And then none of it was digitized. I had to go through this book and look at for the zone I wanted to see and then get the permit that way for a sign.
I mean, they're just now finally switching the fucking parking meters to digital. Just now.
We've done it. We did it.
Yeah. We did it. Yeah. Cleveland's finally arrived, baby. Now all we need is for them to develop out around that stadium like they keep promising us. And for that second phase of the casino.
Dan Gilbert, you owe us a fucking building.
Yeah. Do you think Dan Gilbert, you know how like when baseball players have a bad game and after the game the media comes in and they pretend like they don't speak English? Uh-huh. Do you think Dan Gilbert pretends he's a little more veggie when they try to bring up the second phase of that? He's like, oh, I want another breath. That's a fucked up joke, sorry. Cavs tip off tonight for the people who are listening. I don't feel like there's a ton of buzz around it. Probably some of it has to do with the Browns playing pretty well at the moment.
It sneaks up on me every year. The NBA season starting sneaks up on me every goddamn year, and this year is no different. I completely forgot that it was starting.
I mean, there's a lot of the big-time pundits are predicting the Cavs as a top three seed in the East, and I don't feel like there's a ton of... So I think it's twofold. One is Browns being good. That always trumps everything. The other part is just the way they lost to the Knicks.
The way they lost to the Knicks and then all the Donovan Mitchell rumors over the offseason.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff that came out that's like, okay, well, we can't even enjoy this.
Yeah. I mean, but shouldn't it be the opposite then? Shouldn't it be like, we should enjoy it? Should be like, fuck yeah, dude. We got a good team right now. He's probably not going to be here. Obviously, you need to see a huge improvement from Evan Mobley this year. You want to see a giant leap offensively, hopefully. That would put them in championship contention. That's the only thing that would, in my opinion. And you want to see a little bit more growth from Darius Garland. But you have Mitchell right now. You got a top five, or a top seven scorer in the NBA. You got a top 15 player. You paired him up with some young players. You traded for two new shooters. It's going to give them a ton more space. What is it? Bang Bang George Niang, which is one of my favorite fucking nicknames ever. You know, the leader in wins in the NBA in this decade is George Niang.
What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It's like superstars every decade before it. Like LeBron was last decade. Always. But Niang's been on some really good fucking teams. He was in Utah with Donovan Mitchell, and they won all those games. And I think they went to the Western Conference Finals that year. And then he was in Philly, which obviously they had a bunch of good years there. Uh-huh. Everybody's fawning over Strus, which I get. If you actually caught Strus on what he looked like in the playoffs, you might have really gotten yourself something there. But George Niang is as solid as it gets. He spreads the floor as a four. He's a big body who will D up. He's not a defensive ace. Huge, huge improvement. I didn't even know where Jetty Osman went until earlier today when I heard he in a preview. You know where he's at?
Is he in... Fuck.
I'm a double check.
Minnesota is what I'm thinking.
Nope, he's in San Antonio.
Oh.
How do you think Pop's going to deal with him?
Just let him go. Unleash the fury.
I feel like if Pop buys into Jetty Osman, I'm betting over Jetty props all the time. Because if Wembanyama is not on the floor, they have a couple other young pieces, but Jetty's just going to get a ton of shots down there.
He's going to take him no matter what.
Yeah, whether they're his shots or not, he's going to take shots. Yeah. So I think they're over on our wins like 28.5.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Victor Wembanyama looks like everything he was purported to be. Like,
that's what everybody keeps saying. I haven't watched any. Ooh,
dude. There are preseason games, but him, like, against the Warriors the other day, he had, like, three blocks in a four-minute stretch over Klay Thompson. We got a piece of Steph Curry, and he swatted the fuck out of someone else. This is Kuminga. And the Klay Thompson one, Klay Thompson pump-faked, and Victor Wembanyama was in the, like, almost the restricted area.
Uh-huh.
He pump-faked, and by the time he went back up, that shit was swatted.
Damn.
Down the foot. He was down the court about to dunk it. I think what you're seeing is, there's almost everyone in the NBA is having to readjust the calibration of how quickly they think they can get a shot off because he's just a fucking freak. And then the thing that we talked about a ton was like the injury factor and how skinny he is. I don't know if you heard, but he's doing that shit that Mahomes is doing. Those workouts that are like to strengthen your ankles, knees, because you're going to land in weird places, you throw awkwardly and all that shit. The core strength stuff, it's all that same training, I guess, is what he's been doing. So we'll see, but dude, if he stays healthy, that kid is fucking ferocious. I mean, he's averaging over three blocks a game in preseason. He's only playing 19 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, extrapolate that out. That's like over five a game, I think. That's fucking nuts.
All right, I'll have to catch some games.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
I don't switch to basketball mode for a while, usually.
Yeah. That's like nothing else is on. It's like Tuesday, Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Throw on a Cavs game. So Cavs, not a ton of hype around it. I think it'll be an interesting season. I do think they're going to be a very good regular season team. I think it sucks about this year for the Cavs, though, is it's basically all wait and see, right?
Yeah.
Because we already saw them be good. Now they have a better roster. We know they're probably going to be good in the regular season as long as they stay healthy. You know, at some point, you just like, can we just fast forward to the playoffs and make sure they don't shit down their legs again? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it sucks that we have to feel that way. That's how we always felt with the LeBron teams, but mostly because they were actually load managing and just kind of taking it easy.
Yeah. But, which made sense with those teams. They're veteran heavy.
Yes.
And, you know, and this team makes sense that they won't do a ton of that because they're very young. If I'm the Cavs and all the indications are that Donovan Mitchell's not going to re-sign here anyway, I'm running his ass into the fucking ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say, dude, the tire, I'm taking all the tread off those tires I can.
We'll send you to New York in pieces.
Yeah. You'll get there.
Yeah.
You're going to be parts.
You will be different.
We will not mind playing you at that point.
Yeah.
I love Donovan Mitchell. I like him as a guy. I love him as a basketball player. But I'm just going to use the fuck out of him while he's here because it does feel like it's a complete rental. It just, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about the old Cavs because those were such empty years during the regular season because it just felt like, unless it was a big game against the Warriors or somebody.
Yeah, like a Christmas game.
Yeah, you almost didn't give a fuck.
No.
You know what I mean? Because you knew they were going to be there in the end. It's crazy that we're back to that point. And we feel like they're going to be a very good basketball team, but it just really comes down to who do they get matched up with? Are they going to get bullied in the playoffs? Because if it happens again, there's going to be wholesale changes, probably in the coaching staff, most likely.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the train of they should have switched JB Bickerstaff out this offseason, but they didn't. So here we are. I will say in the preseason, we're seeing a ton of different action offensively than we saw last year. Last year, they literally just ran a high pick and roll over and over and over and over and over again. And they never do anything else because it worked during the regular season.
Yeah.
And then you got into a series where, A, they were defending it well. They're blitzing you to get the ball to guys' hands you wanted to be in, and then they were just kicking your ass on the defensive boards, and they had nothing else to go to offensively. We're seeing a ton of back action so far this preseason. We're seeing guys move a lot more without the ball. I would love to see Darius Garland turn into a a Rip Hamilton type player.
Okay.
I think they have a similar skill set. And remember, that was before Steph really became this, like, god running off screens, off ball.
Yeah.
Rip Hamilton was the original guy to do that shit. He just ran people into the ground. I'd like to see that more this year. You know what I mean? I think that's where he could really become a weapon, if you just got him running guards all off, like, 3-4 screens at a time before he gets a shot.
You have to figure out Darius Garland this year. Like, he is in the NBA long enough at this point where it's like, okay, he's not a project anymore. He's not, well, let's see how good this kid can get. The hype has been there. He needs to live up to it at this point. He's got to ascend to superstardom.
Yes. And if he, I'll tell you right now, if the Cavs are floundering around the deadline, and the guy everybody's looking at is Jared Allen to trade, I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't have any inside information on this, I'm just telling you as a fucking complete NBA junkie, the guy who you can get the most back for immediately, an NBA ready, try to make a run towards a championship, maybe send him to a, I guess, Portland wouldn't give you, but like a Jamari Grant or Jabari, one of those type of guys. It's going to be Garland. That's the guy with the value. And I know they don't
want to probably get the most for Mobley, but you're not getting rid of Mobley.
Yeah. You're never going to get rid of him. Yeah. See you, brother. You're never going to get rid of Mobley because that's the guy who can take you up to.
Yeah.
He's the guy who can make
if
you a championship
contender.
He hits
his ceiling. Yes. You are in. You're sitting on easy street.
Dude, if they're 2 months into this season and Evan Mobley looks like a guy who offensively can take over games, a guy who can pull up and hit threes, a guy who can back down guys as well, even though he's still not the biggest guy, he can put a little more weight on this year.
I saw him. I told you.
Yeah.
I walked by him on East 4th.
Oh, yeah, you did. Group chat.
He smelled nice.
Did he smell nice?
He smelled nice.
Was he wearing enough clothes where you couldn't see the bulk? Because he did put on a little bit of bulk.
It did not look like there was much bulk.
And when you see him in the uniform, he's definitely got more muscle to him. But then again, I watched him get pushed around by Joe Ingles in a preseason game because Joe Ingles is just a big old man.
Yeah.
Old man strength. You know what I mean?
It's a real thing.
But 2 months into the season, if you got that type of Evan Mobley, we need to recalibrate all this shit because you might be talking like, dude, this year they could try to compete. You know?
Yeah.
I have questions. I love the Damian Lillard trade to the Bucks, but I have questions about defensively. They just basically mortgaged all their defense to try to be good offensively. I think there's still enough defense there for them to be good. But you know, you have Chris Middleton who's injured all the time. Drew Holiday is in Boston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, which is a great addition for them. Boston tends to shit themselves when they get to the playoffs. Joe Mazzulla was the worst coach in the playoffs last year. I don't know. There's, like I said, Evan Mobley is the key. This is like what I'm keeping my fingers crossed on is, dude, let's just see a huge jump from Mobley right out of the gate, because then we could be like, oh shit, we got something here. You know what I mean?
Let's see if he develops that three. That'd be huge.
Enormous. Just even if they had a huge clip, he needs to just be a threat.
What, like 25%, 30%?
That'd be great.
30% would be insane.
30%
25%
would
be awesome.
Yeah, 25% is workable. If he gets to 30 or above, you're talking he's ascending into superstar category. Yeah. Because then you're going to start pushing him into doing more attempts out there.
Yeah.
You'll start running action through him off the wing, and they're going to have to stick with him out there. He's a good passer. I think it changes everything you do if you can get him up over 20. You get him up over 28%, you're cooking with gas now. You know what I mean? JB Bickerstaff is already pissing me off just thinking about him coaching this team. But wait, did you see the City Edition jerseys?
No.
They just say that here. Let me try to pull them up. This is, just says the land.
That's what they've been doing.
Yeah, but they're like in this weird font.
And I'm going to try to do a rock and roll font again?
No, this one. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think. What, did they shut off the Wi-Fi here? Shut us out the Wi-Fi. There we go. I love the ones last year, the white with the land.
Wasn't it like a Metro Parks?
Yeah, I thought that was sick.
Anything Metro Parks, I'm in.
Hold on.
This is when we're at our best.
Hold on.
Google it.
It's not even a Thursday. 2023. What the fuck? Oh, here it is. All right.
All right. We got it.
All right.
Live reaction.
So I'm going to tell you. There you go. That's what they look like.
Okay. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Not the biggest fan.
They're fine.
Yeah, that's kind of what I felt. Now, tell me if this isn't Tell me that doesn't look like special Christmas packaging for Remy Martin.
Oh yeah,
yeah, you're like, yeah. A, like a bottle Remy Martin. Of, for like a bottle of Cavassier. You know what I
mean? Yeah,
but it looks like some kind of special Christmas packaging. It does. You know what I mean?
Have they released the Christmas games this year yet? No, I'm sure they have. We have the full. Who are the Christmas games?
I don't.
You got ones?
Yeah, no, we did not get one. I know that. Let's look that up too. Why not? Fuck it. NBA Christmas.
All right. So
Bucks at Knicks.
Okay.
Warriors at Nuggets.
Okay.
Very interested in the Warriors this year with CP3. That I think they're going to be pretty fucking nasty. And they dogged it for half the year last year. When they finally turned it on, they were a good team. Two thirds of the year. You also have the Celtics at the Lakers.
Okay.
Pretty traditional. Oh, and Sixers at Heat.
Sixers Heat. And Mavericks Suns. At Suns. Yeah,
I like all those. The Suns are super interesting with Bradley Beal going to be there.
Yeah.
There's some fun matchups this year. I feel like it's pretty wide open. And then you have the fucking James Harden fat strip club ass just holding Philly hostage again.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts, man.
He doesn't give a fuck. He
does not give a fuck.
I don't know why anybody would pull the trigger. I get that he's kind of tempting because he puts up a lot of points, but like, I don't know why anybody would want him on their team.
I don't know either, too, because the Clippers are the ones who want him. He wants to go to the Clippers. They want Terrence Mann back in exchange, and Terrence Mann is like a good NBA player. Like, not a star, but he's good. Like, you don't, he's not like super young. I think he's like late 20s. He's like a good player. Why would you trade a good player who already puts up points for you for a guy who's
not
going to
play,
going to be a malcontent at some point very quickly? And you mix him into a roster of a bunch of other guys who don't ever fucking play because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are not on the court. I don't know.
Fuck. What an asshole.
Yeah. all right. So what are we at here? 51. Okay. I audibled out of your Reddit story for the week because this weekend is, I guess this next week is technically Halloween, but fuck it. We're going to do it now. I thought it was closer. Okay. But whatever. So,
I mean, this weekend is pretty much Halloween.
This is the weekend. Yeah, exactly. This is when the girls dress slutty.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Great job, ladies. So I have this here.
Remember how awesome Facebook was when you were like 18 to 22? Every girl you knew was putting up slutty pictures. You're like, this is the best day of the year. Fuck Halloween. This is the best day of the year.
Cleveland's creepiest urban legends.
Okay.
From 2019, a Cleveland Scene article. I want to run through some of these with you. I want you to tell
Franklin
me.
Franklin Castle, I know, is a big one.
I want to run through them, and you tell me if you've heard of them. I'll just a little quick blurb on each one.
Okay.
Melonheads.
No.
You don't know the Melonheads?
No.
Maybe this is only an East Side thing. That is a monstrous thing.
I lived on the East Side for a while. I don't remember Melonheads.
Kirtland.
Okay.
I have gone to the Melonheads. I've gone to the Melonheads on acid before, and the cops caught us, and that was one of the wildest nights.
Oh, man.
So there once was a man named Dr. Crow who lived off of Wisner Road in Kirtland. He had been stripped of his medical license because of his complete lack of ethics. He decided to open his home to orphans. Some say this was because he and his wife couldn't conceive. Others say that she did conceive, but that their child was born with hydrocephalus. I don't know how to say it, but it's a condition that causes swelling in the brain and skull. Hence, melon heads.
These people were so delicate with their words.
Yeah.
Your little kid's got swelling of his head. You know, a fucking melon-headed kid.
So, either way, the orphans started mysteriously developing this condition. It is thought that the evil doctor performed experiments on them, injecting fluids in their skulls. Eventually, the children revolted, killed the doctor, burned down his home, and escaped into the woods. They say sightings of these strange-looking people are still reported in the area to this day. That's the
melonheads. And then people tell kids these stories, and then you see an actually like disabled, very unfortunate child with a swollen head, and they're like, melonheads!
Yeah, 100% we used to call people melonheads in school. A couple times...
Paris Hilton's got a melonhead kid. You see the picture of her and the child? Jesus fucking Christ.
She issued a statement in defense of her melonhead child.
She had a C-section.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She's not a wide-hipped lady.
So this is like... across Crybaby Bridge, and you go up that way, and if you're not familiar with that, that's going to come up on the list too. And then there's like this like house up on a hill, which apparently just regular people live in, and the kids every year flock to this place, and these motherfuckers have to hate their life living on this property.
I'm sure.
Supposedly in the back, there is some like structures in the back, and they supposedly used to be where they like housed the melonhead children and locked them up. But we, quite a few different times, snuck up there, usually inebriated. One time, we took a whole bunch of acid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a whole bunch of acid. And it was me and two buddies, one of whom was now a police officer, and a girl. And she drove us up there, and she was scared she wouldn't come up. So we started walking up, tripping our balls off, and freaked out about halfway up the road and went flying, running back. And when we got there, a cop had pulled up and pulled her over.
No.
This cop was part of the Lake County Narcotics Department and was so angry at us because he could not figure out what was wrong with us. And he was like, I'll give you guys breathalyzer. Everybody's fine. Obviously, nobody's drunk. But there was just empty orange juice bottles over the back because vitamin C thing, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, there was vodka in these, I could tell. And like, everybody's just like hysterically laughing. And he finally just let us go. He just let us fucking leave the
scene. How is he that bad? How is he not looking at your pupils and going like, oh man, you kids are fucked up.
Dude, they're saucers. Yeah. I mean, you know how they are. But yeah, he just let us fucking go that night.
Idiot.
Yeah, he was totally
very bad at his job.
Very terrible at his job. It's on the narcotics department. All right. Helltown and Road to Hell. I never heard of this one.
It sounds familiar.
So it's in Peninsula, which is down by like Macedonia area.
Kind of by Blossom. You drive through Peninsula.
The history of Helltown is murky, but it seems that the town was abandoned when the National Park Service deemed the homes as obstructions to the natural beauty of the area. Legend of Hell, Road to Hell and Helltown claim that drivers on the road find themselves with a sudden urge to drive off the road into the Brandywine Gorge to the north. Others say that ghosts of car accidents haunt this road, and that a ghostly hearse has been spotted at night. The road is currently closed to the public, but that doesn't mean you can't reach hell on foot. I'd never heard of that one.
I'd never heard of that one.
It looks kind of freaky. Just like a old abandoned type road with like a road closed deal. I don't know. I guess that could be anywhere.
What are the fucking rules of ghosts? There's no universal set of rules of what they can and can't do.
It's true.
They can make you want to kill yourself. These are very powerful ghosts, obviously.
It's true. There's plenty of people on this earth that make me want to kill myself, so I can imagine. all right. The West Branch Witch. You heard of this one?
No.
So this is Portage County. The woods in the state park are said to be haunted by a witch who appears as a woman in black. Okay, I have heard of this. I lied. But I didn't know where this was. In 1960, a man named B.A. Evans discovered a small cemetery on his recently purchased land. The plot contained 7 gravestones. It was surrounded by a 40-inch wall. The cemetery belonged to the Elliott family, and the graves dated back to the first half of the 19th century. One headstone bears the name Clemenza Isidore, the daughter of the Elliotts who died at 17. The headstone inscription is as follows. Remember youth as you pass, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so must you be.
Damn.
That's fucking weird to put
on
someone's
headstone.
That's a
weird thing to put on somebody's headstone.
Prepare for death and follow me is the last line.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, this creepy poem has been interpreted as a witch's hex, leading to the legend of a woman in black who chases people away from a grave. And I have this, that actually is on a gravestone over there because I've heard.
Dude, I don't believe in ghosts really, but like if I ever saw that on a gravestone,
I'm leaving.
I'm never going back.
Yeah, fuck that shit, dude. That's kind of wild. That gave me goosebumps.
I don't like that.
I had never heard of this one, the Ashtabula Disaster Bridge, or the Ashtabula Bridge Disaster, excuse me.
No.
On December 29th, 1876, an 11-car train with 2 engines and nearly 160 passengers was making its way west when a terrible snowstorm began. At 7:28 p.m., the train slowed while approaching Ashtabula and carefully crossed the iron bridge over the river. The bridge collapsed. The train was plunged into the river. Those who weren't killed in the initial fall drowned or burned to death as the oil from the lanterns ignited the wooden passenger cars. Oh, my God.
Okay.
92 people died. 64 were injured. Of the dead, 48 were unrecognizable and placed in a mass grave nearby in Chestnut Grove Cemetery. But the death toll didn't stop there. The bridge's engineer was found dead 20 days later. His death was eventually ruled a homicide. The killer was never found. The president of the railroad that built the bridge then committed suicide a little over 6 years later. Ghostly figures have been spotted walking the site with activity increasing around the time of the tragedy's anniversary. Do you believe in any of that shit? Of any like hauntings in an area with mass deaths?
No.
Me either.
No.
I wish one of us did. This probably make for a way better conversation.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in any of that shit. And I got something to talk about once we're done with these.
Okay. So that one's interesting. It just pulled that bullshit on me where it went back up to the top.
I told you, when I was in Edinburgh, I was in like these underground vaults and we stood in a room where women and children had been cooked alive because they tried to hide them in there during a fire and it's like all stone and it created like an oven. And like, I felt nothing. I mean, it was sad to hear the story, but like, it's not like I felt presences.
You're just like standing there eating a bag of Doritos, like, nope, don't feel it.
This is dark down here.
Is it like fucking the mannequins? Like
they turned off all the lights and we're trying to like fuck with people. And I'm just standing there. I'm like, I really want to touch Sarah and freak her out, but I shouldn't do it.
I thought you were going to touch and get like freaky.
Yeah. Oh, well, no.
You're like, I don't feel that, but I feel horny. That's for sure. All right. Gore Orphanage.
Yeah. Heard of that one for sure.
Never heard of this. Lorain County.
You never heard of Gore Orphanage?
No. Gore Orphanage and Gore Orphanage Road have a litany of horrible stories associated with the name. The main legend is that a man named Gore started an orphanage on the edge of Lorain County in the early 1800s. When the orphanage started losing money, he decided to cut his losses, locked all the children in the building, which he then set on fire. Hey, man. Got to get that insurance money somehow, right? Then he collected the insurance money and left town.
You raise them?
You can still visit the ruins today where people have heard ghostly children crying at night.
I've heard that you see like children's footprints there as well, supposedly.
That would freak me the fuck out if that was the case. If I was just somebody with a bunch of time on my hands, I would just go put footprints in the grass all the time or the ground.
Have like a tiny foot on a stick, pressing it down like a tamp.
Actually, if I just saw a guy walking with a tiny foot on a stick, that would probably freak me out too. All right, we got two more here. Ready?
Yeah.
Actually, there's a bunch more, but I'm going to give you the two best ones.
Okay.
Crybaby Bridge is whatever. That one's whatever.
Never heard of that one.
The Witch's Grave at Olmsted Falls.
No.
I had heard of this, but I don't know anything much about it. The same cemetery that houses the mass grave of the Ashtabula Bridge victims is also home to a witch's grave. The most popular story is that the woman accused of witchcraft in the 1800s was hung from a large tree in the cemetery. Her body was then cut down, buried at the base of the tree. The creepiest version says that the witch was dismembered after being executed, with her body buried in 13 small boxes around the tree. People in the area embrace these spooky legends.
Damn,
with,
they wanted her dead as fuck.
Haunt of the Falls display every October. See, I've heard of this around Halloween. You can like go down there.
We live close to Olmsted Falls. Sarah'd probably like that.
That'd be a cool little trip to go take. Yeah,
Olmsted Falls is gorgeous.
It is beautiful.
Olmsted Falls reminds me of being in New England. Like, it's what you'd see New England portrayed as in movies, like where fucking Hocus Pocus was filmed. That's what I feel like in Olmsted Falls. Okay.
I could see that. I've never been to like New England, but I'm just assuming that's what
I've been to New England.
Like.
It's
nice. And then let's do, I'm trying to find something a little more closer to home here. Something's in like Conneaut and shit. We'll do this one. This is, where's Arcadia? I don't even know where that is.
I've never heard of Arcadia.
All right, how about this one? The ghosts at Rider's Inn. You know Rider's Inn in Painesville?
No.
It's on Menor Avenue, right in the, it's like kind of the edge of Menor in Painesville. Rider's Inn has a bed and breakfast, a restaurant, and a pub, and three ghosts. The first is said to be a man dressed in a Civil War uniform whose identity remains a mystery. The other two are supposedly the second and third wives of Joseph Rider, the inn's founder. Roxanne, his second wife, is said to be a helpful spirit, but Susanna, his third, is a real cunt. No, she's more mischievous, they say. On several occasions, people have come up to the stairs after hours or gotten into an upstairs bedroom that should have been locked. Each time they claimed they had been let in by a woman in a white nightgown. When the doors were checked, they found to be still locked. No woman.
He would lose so many yards. He would just go out there and pretty much treat it like he was returning a kick every time.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And just hope somebody shakes free downfield. He could toss it to him. I don't know. So moving forward, I think there's a ton of question marks, but at least the question marks of the team that's 4-2 and a super soft schedule ahead of them. Besides the Seattle, it's a very tough game, but two of the next three games are.
Well, we thought this last one was going to be real soft.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew.
But honestly though, it still was a soft game. Gardner Minshew magic can flare up at any week. Uh-huh. So I was not that surprised that Gardner Minshew had a good game because he has him. I mean,
I've been a Gardner Minshew fan since
I like
day
him
one.
Too. Yeah. I like him too. He doesn't get rattled. He goes out and tries to make plays, has a tendency to turn the ball over. That's it. That's the knock on Gardner Minshew, right? But, you know, if you can still manage to go 2-1 in the next three games, as long as you get through that stretch and you have a little bit of certainty at quarterback at that point, I think you're feeling really fucking good about where you're at, man. 6-3 would be an amazing spot to be sitting with everything that's happened to this team.
Gardner Minshew had over 300 yards and two rushing touchdowns.
What do they want for Gardner Minshew?
I mean, if Anthony Richardson wasn't out for the year, that would 100% be who I'd be banging the drum for.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
It'd be so much fun.
Yes. Nicer Baker.
Yeah. Did you see the Pardon My Take clip this week about Minshew and they're talking about the game? They're like, basically, Gardner Minshew instantly makes you feel alive. You feel something when Gardner Minshew plays. Yes. Everything, it doesn't matter. He's not going to win a lot of games.
He's like Bon Jovi on the field.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Shimmying through the end zone with his fucking mullet flying in the wind. It's awesome,
dude. My mom texted, I hate him doing that shimmy. I'm like, I fucking love the shimmy.
Same with me. I was like, that's so fucking awesome. Even though I was like, I wish he would quit scoring. But if he's going to score, go ahead and shimmy. It's all right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens next couple weeks. Tomorrow, I wish I could have had a more, you know, a fiery take to give you right now, but I don't think I do until we know what the fuck happens with Deshaun in this MRI. At that point, I think they would go out and trade for Brissett if they had to put him on a 4-week IR. I'd almost guarantee they'd at least kick the tires on that.
I'd be shocked if they were just like, nope, PJ Walker. This is good enough. Right? I'd be shocked.
And you know what? If Andrew Berry was saying that, I hope this is the one time when Stefanski comes in and flips his fucking desk and goes, you're going to get me a fucking quarterback, dude. I can't keep pulling magic out of my ass.
Yeah, especially with PJ Walker. Not Jerome Ford's down.
Yeah, seriously.
And you're going to be running out there. It's only supposed to be 1 to 2 weeks. That's not terrible, no. But he'd be really nice to have.
By the way, go fuck yourself with the Derrick Henry trade shit. Derrick Henry, A, looks washed.
God and damn.
You know how much? You'd have to give up probably what? Probably wouldn't even be that high of a pick, but you really want to give up a pick for Derrick Henry, who literally it's been a full season now, has not looked like Derrick Henry.
No. He's north of 30. He's enormous. The wheels are going to fall off at some point. Yeah. Everybody's just waiting. Somehow he's still doing pretty well. I like Derrick Henry.
He's fine.
But no, you don't go out and do that. Yeah. You run with what you got.
He's also, and if you've noticed, what's been working for the Browns, because they don't really get a lot of, straight north and south push from the offensive line. A lot of this running they've been doing that's been working really well with Jerome Ford and Kareem has actually been off tackle.
So, it's been more kind of zone blocking than exactly. It is
which track is not
blocking.
A Derrick Henry blocking. So Derrick Henry
no, is, Derrick yeah. Henry's north-south, track blocking.
Exactly.
Shit like that.
Hell yeah, a little offensive line talk. I fucking love offensive line shit. Talk, yeah. It's awesome.
Follow Brandon Thorne, everybody. He's the best at it.
Very good. I grew up with a guy named Brian Thorne.
Oh.
A white kid who sold crack on.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I should say that. I bet you a lot of people didn't know Brian. Yeah,
Brian Thorne has committed felonies.
Yeah. He did. He sold crack, though. Good for him. I want to save the Michigan thing.
Okay.
Want to save that?
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't really have a hot take on it anyway, so except it's hilarious to watch Michigan fans squirm and just how much Jim Harbaugh does not care about rules.
Mr. Khaki Pants is a cheater.
He does not care. Cavs tip off. You know what? Before that.
Okay.
There was a... did you see Kiss received the key to the city of Cleveland?
No.
Last weekend? Yeah. So Kiss was here. I don't know what day. Saturday? Sunday? Something like they performed at some point in the last couple of days. I don't know what it was. I don't know who's still going to Kiss concerts, but God bless you. Good for you.
People love Kiss, man. Yeah.
It was Sunday. That's right. Because I think it was the Browns pregame show on 92.3. They were giving out Kiss tickets. Let's give you something to do at night. People do love Kiss. They're fine. I'm not like...
Musically, they're not the best. They got some songs I, you know...
Yeah, they're fun.
I enjoy.
Yeah, they're a fun band. But Kiss got a key to the city of Cleveland. Did you see Casey Vidmar give Pants and them the key to the city of Cleveland?
Yeah, didn't he buy that on eBay?
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to talk about. Like, you know, if you just pull up eBay and search key to the city of and just start putting in cities, they're fucking everywhere on eBay. There's so many of them.
That's amazing.
He bought his for like $180.
I know, that's so great. I remember him saying that in the group chat. I'm like, so you can fucking do that? And he goes, awesome. Yeah, absolutely you can.
And that night, when he gave it to Pants in the middle of 86, Pants was wearing it on a chain like LL Cool J. And I was like, dude, you should never take that off. That's such a good look.
Yes.
Except you know it will turn green like instantly. One shower, one sweaty day.
You don't think Cleveland's putting out for the actual gold?
No, not a chance. It's very cheap looking. It's chintzy.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was 1983 it came out.
Who was the key for? Do we know that?
I don't think we do know. All I know is he kept telling me if Pele had one, I deserve one, is what Casey kept telling me. It's just the funniest rationale for buying a key.
He should start trespassing and just holding up the key and going, it's fine.
Yeah.
I can go wherever.
Yeah. He wanted to go to the city hall and just pretend to try it on different locks because it's like comically big, obviously. Yes. You know what I mean? But I don't know how. You think they would kick you out? Like, no, you gave this to me in 1983.
Oh, they definitely kick you out. Yeah. They don't care.
They do.
There are some middle-aged ladies working there just going, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. What a wild building that is, too. Have you been in there recently?
Not in a while, but yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous building. Hauntingly old and empty.
Yeah.
Very creaky walking down the hallways. It's like a fucking weird place.
Back in an old job I had, maybe around 2015, I had to go to like the zoning office. And, like, I was fucking shocked that a major city, or sort of a major city in the United States, they brought out these books for us to look through that were held together. The spines were all fucked up, so they had duct tape on them.
Hell yeah.
And then none of it was digitized. I had to go through this book and look for the zone I wanted to see and then get the permit that way for a sign.
I mean, they're just now finally switching the fucking parking meters to digital. Just now.
We've done it. We did it.
Yeah, we did it. Yeah, Cleveland's finally arrived, yep. baby. Now all we need is for them to develop out around that stadium like they keep promising us. And for that second phase of the casino.
Dan Gilbert, you owe us a fucking building.
Yeah. Do you think Dan Gilbert, you know how like when baseball players have a bad game and after the game, the media comes in, they pretend like they don't speak English. Uh-huh. You think Dan Gilbert pretends he's a little more veggie when they try to bring up the second phase of that? He's like, oh, man, another bet. That's a fucked up joke. Sorry. Cavs tip off tonight for the people who are listening. I don't feel like there's a ton of buzz around it. Probably some of it has to do with the Browns playing pretty well at the
moment.
It
sneaks up on me every year. The NBA season starting sneaks up on me every goddamn year, and this year is no different. I completely forgot that it was starting.
I mean, there's a lot of the big-time pundits are predicting the Cavs as a top three seed in the East, and I don't feel like there's a ton of... So I think it's twofold. One is Browns being good. That always trumps everything. The other part is just the way they lost the Knicks.
The way they lost to the Knicks and then all the Donovan Mitchell rumors over the offseason.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff that came out that's like, okay, well, we can't even enjoy this.
Yeah. I mean, but isn't it, shouldn't it be the opposite then? Shouldn't it be like, we should enjoy it? Should be like, fuck yeah, dude. We got a good team right now. He's probably not going to be here. Obviously, you need to see a huge improvement from Evan Mobley this year. You want to see a giant leap offensively, hopefully. That would put them in championship contention. That's the only thing that would, in my opinion. And you want to see a little bit more growth from Darius Garland. But you have Mitchell right now. You got a top five, a top seven scorer in the NBA. You got a top 15 player. You paired him up with some young players. You traded for two new shooters. It's going to give them a ton more space. What is it? Bang Bang George Niang, which is one of my favorite fucking nicknames ever. You know, the leader in wins in the NBA in this decade is George Niang.
What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It's like superstars every decade before it. Like LeBron was last decade. Always. But Niang's been on some really good fucking teams. He was in Utah with Donovan Mitchell, and they won all those games. And I think they went to the Western Conference Finals that year. And then he was in Philly, which obviously they had a bunch of good years there. Uh-huh. Everybody's fawning over Strus, which I get. If you actually caught Strus on what he looked like in the playoffs, you might have really gotten yourself something there. But George Niang is as solid as it gets. He spreads the floor as a four. He's a big body who will D up. He's not a defensive ace. Huge, huge improvement. I didn't even know where Jetty Osman went until earlier today when I heard he in a preview. You know where he's at?
Is he in... Fuck.
I'm gonna double check this.
Minnesota is what I'm thinking.
Nope, he's in San Antonio.
Oh.
How do you think Pop's going to deal with him?
Just let him go. Unleash the fury.
I feel like if Pop buys into Jetty Osman, I'm betting over Jetty props all the time. Because if Wembanyama's not on the floor, like really, I mean, they have a couple other young pieces, but Jetty's just going to get a ton of shots down there.
He's going to take him no matter what.
Yeah, whether they're his shots or not, he's going to take shots. Yeah. So I think their over-under wins like 28.5.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Victor Wembanyama looks like everything he was purported to be. Like,
that's what everybody keeps saying. I haven't watched any.
Dude. There are preseason games, but him, like, against the Warriors the other day, he had, like, three blocks in a four-minute stretch over Klay Thompson, we got a piece of Steph Curry, and he swatted the fuck out of someone else. This is Kuminga. And Klay Thompson pump faked, and Victor Wembanyama was in the, like, almost the restricted area.
Uh-huh.
He pump faked, and by the time he went back up, that shit was swatted down the floor. He was down the court about to dunk it. I think what you're seeing is, there's almost everyone in the NBA is having to readjust the calibration of how quickly they think they can get a shot off because he's just a fucking freak. And then the thing that we talked about a ton was like the injury factor and how skinny he is. I don't know if you heard, but he's doing that shit that Mahomes is doing. Those workouts that are like to strengthen your ankles, knees, because you're going to land in weird places. You throw awkwardly and all that shit. The core strength stuff. It's all that same training, I guess, is what he's been doing. So we'll see. But, dude, if he stays healthy, that kid is fucking ferocious. I mean, he's averaging over three blocks a game in preseason. He's only playing 19 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, extrapolate that out. That's like over five a game, I think. That's fucking nuts.
All right. I'll have to catch some games.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
I don't switch to basketball mode for a while, usually.
Yeah. That's like nothing else is on. It's like Tuesday, Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Throw on a Cavs game. So Cavs, not a ton of hype around it. I think it'll be an interesting season. I do think they're going to be a very good regular season team. I think it sucks about this year for the Cavs, though, is it's basically all wait and see, right?
Yeah.
Because we already saw them be good. Now they have a better roster. We know they're probably going to be good in the regular season as long as they stay healthy. You know, at some point, you just like, can we just fast forward to the playoffs and make sure they don't shit down their legs again? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it sucks that we have to feel that way. That's how we always felt with the LeBron teams, but mostly because they were actually load managing and just kind of taking it easy.
Yeah, but, which made sense with those teams. They were veteran heavy.
Yes.
And, you know, and this team makes sense that they won't do a ton of that because they're very young. If I'm the Cavs, and all the indications are that Donovan Mitchell's not going to resign here anyway, I'm running his ass into the fucking ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say, dude, the tire, I'm taking all the tread off those tires I can.
We'll
man.
Send you to New York in pieces.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Yeah.
You're going to be parts. By
you
the
will
time
be you, different.
Yeah, yeah. We will not mind playing you at that point.
Yeah.
I love Donovan Mitchell. I like him as a guy. I love him as a basketball player. But I'm just going to use the fuck out of him while he's here because it does feel like it's a complete rental. It just, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about the old Cavs because those were such empty years during the regular season because it just felt like, unless it was a big game against the Warriors or somebody.
Yeah, like a
just,
Christmas game.
Yeah, you almost didn't give a fuck.
No.
You know what I mean? Because you knew they were going to be there in the end. It's crazy that we're back to that point and we feel like they're going to be a very good basketball team, but it just really comes down to who do they get matched up with? Are they going to get bullied in the playoffs? Because if it happens again, there's going to be wholesale changes, probably in the coaching staff, most likely.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the train of they should have switched JB Bickerstaff out this offseason, but they didn't. So here we are. I will say in the preseason, we're seeing a ton of different action offensively than we saw last year. Last year, they literally just ran a high pick and roll over and over and over and over and over again. And they never do anything else because it worked during the regular season.
Yeah.
And then you got into a series where, A, they were defending it well. They're blitzing you to get the ball to guys' hands you wanted to be in, and then they were just kicking your ass on the defensive boards, and they had nothing else to go to offensively. We're seeing a ton of back action so far this preseason. We're seeing guys move a lot more without the ball. I would love to see Darius Garland turn into a oh my God, I can't think of his name now, a Rip Hamilton type player.
Okay.
I think they have a similar skill set. And remember, that was before Steph really became this, like, god running off screens, off ball.
Yeah.
Rip Hamilton was the original guy to do that shit. He just ran people into the ground. I'd like to see that more this year. You know what I mean? I think that's where he can really become a weapon if you just got him running guards all off, like, 3-4 screens at a time before he gets a shot.
You have to figure out Darius Garland this year. Like, he is in the NBA long enough at this point where it's like, okay, he's not a project anymore. He's not, well, let's see how good this kid can get. The hype has been there. He needs to live up to it at this point. He's got to ascend to superstardom.
Yes. And I'll tell you right now, if the Cavs are floundering around the deadline and the guy everybody's looking at is Jared Allen in trade, I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't have any inside information on this, I'm just telling you as a fucking complete NBA junkie, the guy who you can get the most back for immediately, an NBA ready, try to make a run towards a championship, maybe send him to Portland wouldn't give you, but like a Jamari Grant or Jabari, one of those type of guys. It's going to be Garland. That's the guy with the value. And I know they don't
want to probably get the most from Mobley, but you're not getting rid of Mobley.
Yeah. You're never going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
See you, brother. You're never going to get rid of Mobley because that's the guy who can take you up to.
Yeah.
He's the guy who can make
if
you a championship contender.
He hits
contender.
His ceiling.
Yes.
You are. And you're sitting on easy street.
Dude, if they're 2 months into this season and Evan Mobley looks like a guy who offensively can take over games, a guy who can pull up and hit threes, a guy who can back down guys as well, even though he's still not the biggest guy, he put a little more weight on this year.
I saw him. I told you.
Yeah.
I walked by him on East 4th.
Oh,
I
yeah, you did. Group chat.
He smelled nice.
Did he smell nice?
He smelled nice.
Now, was he wearing enough clothes where you couldn't see the bulk? Because he did put on a little bit of bulk.
It did not look like there was much bulk.
And when you see him in the uniform, he's definitely got more muscle to him. But then again, I watched him get pushed around by Joe Ingles in a preseason game because Joe Ingles is just a big old man.
Yeah.
Old man strength. You know what I mean?
It's a real thing.
But 2 months into the season, if you got that type of Evan Mobley, we need to recalibrate all this shit because you might be talking like, dude, this year they could try to compete. You know?
Yeah.
I have questions. I love the Damian Lillard trade to the Bucks, but I have questions about defensively. They just basically mortgaged all their defense to try to be good offensively. I think there's still enough defense there for them to be good. But you know, you have Chris Middleton who's injured all the time. Drew Holiday is in Boston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, which is a great addition for them. Boston tends to shit themselves when they get to the playoffs. Joe Mazzulla was the worst coach in the playoffs last year. I don't know. There's, like I said, Evan Mobley is the key. This is like what I'm keeping my fingers crossed on is, dude, let's just see a huge jump from Mobley right out of the gate, because then we could be like, oh shit. We got something here. You know what I mean?
Let's see if he develops that three. That'd be huge.
Enormous. Just even if they had a huge clip, he needs to just be a threat.
What, like 25%, 30%?
That'd be great.
30% would be insane.
30%
25%
would
be great.
Yeah, 25% is workable. If he gets a 30 or above, you're talking he's ascending into superstar category. Yeah. Because then you're going to start pushing him into doing more attempts out there.
Yeah.
You'll start running action through him off the wing, and they're going to have to stick with him out there. He's a good passer. I think it changes everything you do if you can get him up over 20. You get him up over 28%, you're cooking with gas now. You know what I mean? JB Bickerstaff is already pissing me off just thinking about him coaching this team. But wait, did you see the City Edition jerseys?
No.
They just say that here. Let me try to pull them up. This is, just says the land.
That's what they've been doing.
Yeah, but they're like in this weird font.
And I'm going to try to do a rock and roll font again?
No, this one. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think. Would they shut off the Wi-Fi here? Try to shut off the Wi-Fi. There we go. I love the ones last year, the white with the land.
Wasn't it like a Metro Parks?
Yeah, I thought that was sick.
Anything Metro Parks, I'm in.
Where's that? Hold on.
This is when we're at our best.
Hold on.
Google it.
It's not even a Thursday. 2023. What the fuck? Oh, here it is. All right.
All right. We got it.
All right.
Live reaction.
So I'm going to tell you. There you go. That's what they look like.
Okay. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Not the biggest fan.
They're fine.
Yeah, that's kind of what I felt. Now, tell me if this isn't... Tell me that doesn't look like special Christmas packaging for Remy Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Like a bottle of Cavassier. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
But it looks like some kind of special Christmas packaging. It does. You know what I mean?
Have they released the Christmas games this year yet? I'm sure they have. We have the full... Who are the Christmas games?
I don't
know. You got ones?
No, we did not get one. I know that. Let's look that up, too. Why not? Fuck it. NBA Christmas.
All right. So
Bucks at Knicks.
Okay.
Warriors at Nuggets.
Okay.
Very interested in the Warriors this year with CP3. I think they're going to be pretty fucking nasty. And they dogged it for half the year last year. When they finally turned it on, they were a good team. Two-thirds of the year. You also have the Celtics at the Lakers.
Okay.
Pretty traditional. Oh, and Sixers at Heat.
Sixers Heat. And Mavericks Suns. Yeah.
I like all those. The Suns are super interesting with Bradley Beal going to be there.
Yeah.
There's some fun matchups this year. I feel like it's pretty wide open. And then you have the fucking James Harden fat strip club ass just holding Philly hostage again.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts, man.
He doesn't give a fuck. He
does not give a fuck.
I don't know why anybody would pull the trigger. I get that he's kind of tempting because he puts up a lot of points, but like, I don't know why anybody would want him on their team.
I don't know either, too, because the Clippers are the ones who want him. He wants to go to the Clippers. They want Terrence Mann back in exchange, and Terrence Mann is like a good NBA player. Like, not a star, but he's good. Like, you don't – he's not like super young. He's like late 20s. But he's like a good player. Why would you trade a good player who already puts up points for you for a guy who's
– not
going to
play.
Going to be a malcontent at some point very quickly. And you mix them into a roster of a bunch of other guys who don't ever fucking play because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are on the court. I don't know.
Fuck. What an asshole.
Yeah. All right. So what are we at here? 51? Okay. I audibled out of your Reddit story for the week because this weekend is, I guess this next week is technically Halloween, but fuck it. We're going to do it now. I thought it was closer. Okay. Than that, but whatever. So...
I mean, this weekend is pretty much
this
Halloween
is the weekend. Yeah, exactly. This is when the girls Halloween dress slutty.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Great job, ladies. So I have this here.
Remember how awesome Facebook was when you were like 18 to 22? Every girl you knew was putting up slutty pictures. This is the best day of the year. Fuck Halloween. This is the best day of the year.
Cleveland's creepiest urban legends.
Okay.
From 2019, a Cleveland Scene article. I want to run through some of these with you. I want you to tell
me. Franklin Castle, I know, is a big one.
I want to run through them, and you tell me if you've heard of them. I'll just a little quick blurb on each one.
Okay.
Melonheads.
No.
You don't know the Melonheads?
No.
Maybe this is only an East Side thing. That is a monstrous thing.
I lived on the East Side for a while. I don't remember Melonheads.
Kirtland.
Okay.
I have gone to the Melonheads. I've gone to the Melonheads on acid before, and the cops caught us, and that was one of the wildest nights of my life. So there once was a man named Dr. Crow who lived off of Wisner Road in Kirtland. He had been stripped of his medical license because of his complete lack of ethics. He decided to open his home to orphans. Some say this was because he and his wife couldn't conceive. Others say that she did conceive, but that their child was born with hydrocephalus. I don't know how to say it, but it's a condition that causes swelling in the brain and skull. hence melon heads.
People were so delicate with their words.
Yeah.
Your little kid's got swelling of his head. You know, a fucking melon-headed kid.
So, either way, the orphans started mysteriously developing this condition. It is thought that the evil doctor performed experiments on them, injecting fluids in their skulls. Eventually, the children revolted, killed the doctor, burned down his home, and escaped into the woods. They said sightings of these strange-looking people are still reported in the area to this day. That's the
melon head. And then people tell kids these stories, and then you see an actually like disabled, very unfortunate child with a swollen head, and they're like, melon heads!
Yeah, 100% we used to call people melon heads in school. I a couple times...
Paris Hilton's got a melon head. Can you see the picture of her and the child? Jesus fucking Christ.
She issued a statement in defense of her melon head child.
She had a C-section.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She's not a wide-hipped lady.
So this is like across Crybaby Bridge, and you go up that way, and if you're not familiar with that, that's going to come up on the list too. And then there's like this like house up on a hill, which apparently just regular people live in, and the kids every year flock to this place, and these motherfuckers have to hate their life living on this property.
I'm sure.
Supposedly in the back, there is some like structures in the back, and they supposedly used to be where they like housed the melonhead children and locked them up. But we quite a few different times snuck up there, usually inebriated. One time we took a whole bunch of acid. A whole bunch of acid. And it was me and two buddies, one of whom was now a police officer, and a girl. And she drove us up there, and she was scared she wouldn't come up. So we started walking up, tripping our balls off, and freaked out about halfway up the road, and went flying, running back. And when we got there, a cop had pulled up and pulled her over.
No.
This cop was part of the Lake County Narcotics Department, and was so angry at us because he could not figure out what was wrong with us. And he was like, I'll give you guys breathalyzer. Everybody's fine. Obviously, nobody's uh-huh. drunk. But there was just empty orange juice bottles over the back because vitamin C thing, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, there was vodka in these, I could tell. And like everybody's just like hysterically laughing. And he finally just let us go. He just let us fucking leave the
scene. How is he that bad? How is he not looking at your pupils and going like, oh, man, you kids are fucked up.
Dude, they're saucers. Yeah. I mean, you know how they are. But yeah, but he just let us fucking go that night.
Idiot.
Yeah, he's totally
very bad at his job.
Very terrible at his job. It's in the narcotics department. All right. Helltown and Road to Hell. I never heard of this one.
It sounds familiar.
So it's in Peninsula, which is down by like Macedonia area.
Kind of by Blossom. You drive through Peninsula.
The history of Helltown is murky, but it seems that the town was abandoned when the National Park Service deemed the homes as obstructions to the natural beauty of the area. Legend of Hell, Road to Hell and Helltown claim that drivers on the road find themselves with a sudden urge to drive off the road into the Brandywine Gorge to the north. Others say that ghosts of car accidents haunt this road and that a ghostly hearse has been spotted at night. The road is currently closed to the public, but that doesn't mean you can't reach hell on foot. I'd never heard of that one.
I'd never heard of that one.
It looks kind of freaky. Just like a old abandoned type road with like a road closed deal. I don't know. I guess that could be anywhere.
What are the fucking rules of ghosts? There's no universal set of rules of what they can and can't do.
It's true.
Okay, they can make you want to kill yourself. These are very powerful ghosts, obviously.
It's true. There's plenty of people on this earth that make me want to kill myself, so I can imagine. all right. The West Branch Witch. You heard of this one?
No.
So this is Portage County. The woods in the state park are said to be haunted by a witch who appears as a woman in black. Okay, I have heard of this. I lied. But I didn't know where this was. In 1960, a man named B.A. Evans discovered a small cemetery on his recently purchased land. The plot contained 7 gravestones and was surrounded by a 40-inch wall. The cemetery belonged to the Elliott family, and the graves dated back to the first half of the 19th century. One headstone bears the name Clemenza Isidore, the daughter of the Elliots who died at 17. The headstone inscription is as follows. Remember youth as you pass, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so must you be.
Damn.
That's fucking weird to put
That's
on someone's headstone.
That's a weird thing to put on somebody's headstone.
Prepare for death and follow me is the last line.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, this creepy poem has been interpreted as a witch's hex, leading to the legend of a woman in black who chases people away from a grave. And I have this, that actually is on a gravestone over there because I've heard.
Dude, I don't believe in ghosts really, but like if I ever saw that on a gravestone,
that freaked me
out. I'm leaving. I'm never going back.
Yeah, yeah fuck that shit, dude. That's kind of wild. That gave me goosebumps.
I don't like that.
I'd never heard of this one, the Ashtabula Disaster Bridge, or the Ashtabula Bridge Disaster, excuse me.
No.
On December 29th, 1876, an 11-car train with 2 engines and nearly 160 passengers was making its way west when a terrible snowstorm began. At 7:28 p.m., the train slowed while a while approaching Ashtabula and carefully crossed the iron bridge over the river. The bridge collapsed. The train was plunged into the river. Those who weren't killed in the initial fall drowned or burned to death as the oil from the lanterns ignited the wooden passenger cars. Oh, my God.
Okay.
92 people died. 64 were injured. Of the dead, 48 were unrecognizable and placed in a mass grave nearby in Chestnut Grove Cemetery. But the death toll didn't stop there. The bridge's engineer was found dead 20 days later. His death was eventually ruled a homicide. The killer was never found. The president of the railroad that built the bridge then committed suicide a little over 6 years later. Ghostly figures have been spotted walking the site, with activity increasing around the time of the tragedy's anniversary. Okay. Do you believe in any of that shit? Of any, like, hauntings in an area with mass deaths?
No.
Me either.
No.
I wish one of us did. This probably make for a way better conversation.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in any of that shit. And I got something to talk about once we're done with these.
Okay. So that one's interesting. It just pulled that bullshit on me where it went back up to the top.
I told you, when I was in Edinburgh, I was in like these underground vaults, and we stood in a room where women and children had been cooked alive because they tried to hide them in there during a fire, and it's like all stone, and it created like an oven. And like, I felt nothing. I mean, it was sad to hear the story, but like, it's not like I felt presences.
You're just like standing there eating a bag of Doritos, like, nope, don't feel it.
It's dark down here.
Is it like fucking the mannequins?
Like they turned off all the lights and we're trying to like fuck with people, and I'm just standing there. I'm like, I really want to touch Sarah and freak her out, but I shouldn't do it.
I thought you were going to touch and get like freaky.
No.
You're like, I don't feel that, but I feel horny. That's for sure. All right. Gore Orphanage.
Yeah. Heard of that one for sure.
Never heard of this. Lorain County.
You never heard of Gore Orphanage?
No. Gore Orphanage and Gore Orphanage Road have a litany of horrible stories associated with the name. The main legend is that a man named Gore started an orphanage on the edge of Lorain County in the early 1800s. When the orphanage started losing money, he decided to cut his losses, locked all the children in the building, which he then set on fire. Hey, man. Got to get that insurance money somehow, right? Then he collected the insurance money and left town.
You can raise them?
You can still visit the ruins today where people have heard ghostly children crying at night.
I've heard that you see like children's footprints there as well, supposedly.
That would freak me the fuck out if that was the case. If I was just somebody with a bunch of time on my hands, I would just go put footprints in the grass all the time or the ground.
Have like a tiny foot on a stick, pressing it down like a tamp.
Actually, if I just saw a guy walking with a tiny foot on a stick, that would probably freak me out too. All right, we got two more here. Ready?
Yeah.
Actually, there's a bunch more, but I'm going to give you the two best ones.
Okay.
Crybaby Bridge is whatever. That one's whatever.
Never heard of that one.
The Witch's Grave at Olmsted Falls.
No.
I had heard of this, but I don't know anything much about it. The same cemetery that houses the mass grave of the Ashtabula Bridge victims is also home to a witch's grave. The most popular story is that the woman accused of witchcraft in the 1800s was hung from a large tree in the cemetery. Her body was then cut down, buried at the base of the tree. The creepiest version says that the witch was dismembered after being executed, with her body buried in 13 small boxes around the tree. People in the area embrace these spooky legends.
Damn,
with,
they wanted her dead as fuck.
Haunt of the Falls display every October. See, I've heard of this around Halloween. You can like go down there.
We live close to Olmsted Falls. Sarah'd probably like that.
That'd be a cool little trip to go take.
Yeah, Olmsted Falls is gorgeous.
It is beautiful.
Olmsted Falls reminds me of being in New England. Like, it's what you'd see New England portrayed as in movies, like where fucking Hocus Pocus was filmed. That's what I feel like in Olmsted Falls. Okay.
I can see that. I've never been to like New England, so, but I'm just assuming that's what
I've been
to
New England. It's nice.
And then let's do, I'm trying to find something a little more closer to home here. Something like Conneaut and shit. We'll do this one. This is, where's Arcadia? I don't even know where that is.
I've never heard of Arcadia.
All right. How about this one? The ghosts at Rider's Inn. You know Rider's Inn in Painesville?
No.
It's on Menor Avenue, right on the, it's like kind of the edge of Menor in Painesville. Rider's Inn has a bed and breakfast, a restaurant, and a pub, and three ghosts. The first is said to be a man dressed in a Civil War uniform, whose identity remains a mystery. The other two are supposedly the second and third wives of Joseph Rider, the inn's founder. Roxanne, his second wife, is said to be a helpful spirit, but Susanna, his third, is a real cunt. No, she's more mischievous, they say. On several occasions, people have come up to the stairs after hours or gotten into an upstairs bedroom that should have been locked. Each time they claimed they had been let in by a woman in a white nightgown. When the doors were checked, they found to be still locked. No one